The record spinning on KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman. When U.S. Navy SEALs killed al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan in 2011, many Americans cheered. It seemed like vengeance had finally been served a decade after 9/11. In Pakistan, that news was not nearly so welcome. Many Pakistanis felt the U.S. had overstepped its jurisdiction. According to Hussein Haqqani, the divergence of the two responses are emblematic of the confused relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan. And he ought to know, Hussein Haqqani was Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S. from 2008 to 2011. He's now a professor at Boston University, and he's got a new book about our two nations. It's called Magnificent Delusions. Hussein Haqqani, welcome to KUOW.
Pleasure being here.
You begin your book at the very beginning of Pakistan, a new nation in 1947. How would you characterize the way the U.S. dealt with the emergence of Pakistan?
Well, the United States did not pay much attention to the events that were taking place that led to the creation of Pakistan. Americans were preoccupied with Europe. It was the aftermath of the Second World War. There was some interest in the Far East, where China was being lost to communism. South Asia was not particularly important. In fact, when Harry Truman was approached by Chester Bowles, who was the governor of Connecticut and a famous political figure, that he wanted to be America's ambassador to India, Truman turned around and said, "Why does anyone want to be ambassador to India?" So the whole region was not important in Washington at that time.
But Pakistan has been reliant on U.S. financial aid for most of its existence, yes?
Absolutely. And this was another problem that Americans did not fully appreciate at that time. Pakistan had fewer resources, but it had a large military that it inherited from the British as a result of the partition and the terms of the partition. And instead of encouraging Pakistan to try and either reduce the military or find ways of surviving as a new nation, the Americans basically listened to Pakistan's leaders come to tell them that, you know what, our army will be your army if you fund us and if you train us, and we will help you fight communism. The truth was that the Pakistani leaders did not want to fight communism. They wanted to fight India. And that is exactly what happened. So initially, the Americans were a little reluctant to get involved with Pakistan. But as India refused to become an American ally in the Cold War, Pakistan's overtures were responded to favorably without necessarily knowing what Pakistan's intentions were in the region.
What role does Pakistan's military play vis-a-vis its government?
Pakistan's military, of course, is the most powerful institution in the country, backed with American money and arms. It became strong enough within about 10 years of independence to take power. It has ruled the country directly under martial law for more than half of the country's existence as an independent nation, and still remains the most powerful institution and more or less operates independently of the decisions made by the civilians in national security matters.
I'm talking with Hussein Haqqani. He's a professor at Boston University, but from 2008 through 2011, he was Pakistan's ambassador to the United States. It's very hard to discuss the scope of the history of Pakistan, so I'm going to jump ahead because Pakistan is in every story that we hear about Afghanistan, and lately the news in Afghanistan is whether the U.S. will pull out all of its troops if it can't reach agreement with Hamid Karzai to keep foreign troops there. What is Pakistan's role in that particular scenario?
Well, Pakistan has wanted a subservient Afghanistan. It wants an Afghanistan that does not tie up with its arch rival India and create what Pakistanis consider to be a pincer movement so that Pakistan doesn't get caught on both sides. So Pakistan's been trying to impose a government of its choice in Afghanistan since the Soviets left. Now, the Americans and Pakistanis worked together to drive the Soviets out. But after that, the Americans had no interest in the Mujahideen. Pakistan did. And so Pakistan was the Taliban's biggest backer before 9/11, and it has reverted back to being the Taliban's backer now.
How many anti-American sects or remnant Taliban sects are there in Afghanistan in Pakistan at this point in time?
It's difficult to put a number, but let me just say that there are significant numbers. First of all, 83% of Pakistanis don't look upon the United States favorably. So as a whole, the country's environment is anti-American. In that, there are the Taliban. Of course, the government and the army do not support all Taliban, but they support those Taliban that serve as their proxies in Afghanistan or in India. And as a result, there are several groups and factions in Pakistan that are armed to the teeth and that will fight for control not only of Afghanistan, but ultimately also of Pakistan. As a Pakistani, I am very concerned that Pakistan has not made the decision to fight all forms and all groups that are involved in terrorism.
How did the death of Osama bin Laden at the hand of the Navy SEALs affect U.S.-Pakistani relations?
Well, people like myself and the president of Pakistan at the time, President Asif Ali Zardari, felt that we needed to acknowledge that the death of Osama bin Laden was a positive development. But our military leaders and several others said that the more important question was, why did the Americans come inside Pakistan and conduct an operation without informing the Pakistanis? They also claimed that this meant that someday the Americans could come again and they could take away Pakistan's nuclear weapons, which is a fear they often generate inside Pakistan. So those of us who thought that we should work with the Americans to investigate who supported bin Laden and what was his support network and how to eliminate it in future, we were outnumbered. Eventually, I was removed from office. Pakistan's public position to this day remains that it is more important to object to America's covert operation than to celebrate Osama bin Laden's elimination.
In fact, you write quite a bit about what you describe as the fomentation of the anti-Americanism in Pakistan by the mainstream media and against yourself as well. You were accused of being a spy for the Americans. You've been imprisoned because of the relationship you've had with this company.
With this country.
I'm sorry. Why does that animosity continue when the dependence on American aid also continues?
Well, I think maybe it is because of the dependence. Look, a nation that is proud should also be proudly independent in terms of its resource base. Pakistan's biggest problem is that Pakistan wants to take on a country that is much larger than it, India. Pakistan should make peace with India. Pakistan should stop trying to impose a government of its choice in Afghanistan and instead befriend the government in Afghanistan. There are choices for Pakistan that Pakistan needs to make, but instead of making those choices, our military leaders basically just persist with old policies. There's very little change in Pakistan's outlook on the world since 1959. And anti-Americanism is an excuse for two reasons. One, to tell the Americans that, look, our people are against you, but we are the only ones who can deliver some advantages to you in this region. And the second is that it explains away a lot of failures. You see, America is conspiring against us constantly, so what can we do? And the fact remains that 42% of school-going age children in Pakistan don't go to school. The population, which is a very young population, a lot of them do not have jobs. The country's economy is not growing very fast. And Pakistan continues to fall behind in every other respect, except in nuclear weapons and in military technology.
You mentioned that you stepped down from your ambassadorship to the United States in 2011. What is your current relationship with the Pakistani government and with Pakistan itself? Can you return home?
I can return legally. There is no bar on me, but I doubt that would be prudent. If you know, Benazir Bhutto was killed. Salman Taseer, the governor of Punjab, who wanted the blasphemy laws in Pakistan amended, he was killed by a vigilante who was also his guard. So I don't want to be in a situation like that. I'd rather sit here. I think The Magnificent Delusions, which is my book on U.S.-Pakistan relations, really explains the whole relationship in its full context. I want to do more writing of that nature so that I can influence the course of event in Pakistan without necessarily going back there. But I do want Pakistan's people, who are wonderful and have tremendous potential, to be able to realize their potential, for Pakistan to become a nation that is a trading nation, an economically prosperous nation, instead of just being a warrior nation that is seen by the rest of the world only through the prism of nuclear weapons and terrorism, which doesn't do Pakistan much good. So I'd rather do that sitting out than go back and be bumped off.
Hussein Haqqani was Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S. from 2008 to 2011. His book is called Magnificent Delusions, Pakistan, the United States, and an Epic History of Misunderstanding. Thanks so much for joining me today.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
It's The Record on KUOW.